chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right.
Look, there's calls for Kim to be fired. I think, you know, you could certainly see a path forward for suspension over this. And again, you know, the FCC is going to have remedies that we could look at. And again, you know, we may ultimately be called to be a judge on that.
No, 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 no. Look, I like Brendan Carr. He's a good guy. He's the chairman of the FCC. I work closely with him. But what he said there is dangerous as hell.
I just want to settle this free speech question, because you've said that you restored free speech in America. Is that free speech including for people who are harshly critical of you, for your political opponents, for people who say things you don't like?
I've become immune to it. There's never been a person that's had more unfair publicity than me.
So we're having a really big, important conversation in this country over the role of free speech, the FCC, public broadcast licenses, the president's attitude towards people who criticize him. The first voice you heard there was Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC, who, of course, threatened the licenses of stations that would continue to air Jimmy Kimmel. He's now raised questions about The View. He's, you know, sounding very much, I mean, he said, literally, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, which Ted Cruz said it made him sound like a mafioso walking in to get protection money out of the bar, and he's not wrong. That is Ted Cruz's voice. Then you heard the question of the president in the Oval Office over the weekend, where he repeatedly said, I don't know, these people with these broadcast licenses are critical of me 94-97% of the time. How can that be right? Joining us now, which I think is very concerning, all of that very concerning. The government getting involved in deciding content for broadcast licenses is, I think, terrifying, frankly. Joining us now, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is, of course, our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I said a lot there, but that's all context. We've been talking this morning about the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service, which we'll get to with you in a second. But I wanted to give some setup for people to haven't heard some of that stuff. Tell me where you're at on this. I mean, Pam Bondi said hate speech is going to start to be enforceable. She had to walk that back. But our side's always been against the idea of hate speech. We just believe in speech.
Well, I think, one, I'm going to speak to a little bit of your older generation right now. To me, it still seems like yesterday when I only had three channels. The last show at the end of the night was Carson or Ted Koppel. And then it would end with the national anthem every night. That snapshot of what at least used to be free speech on TV was definitely a little more restrained with the audience. We've gotten to the point where we're talking and doing things on TV that I never dreamed as a child or even just as a young adult that we would see or have going on.
Oh, amen to that. Yeah.
Carson made it a big deal. Yeah, Carson always stayed with political speech. And so that was his lane. So now as these guys have gotten more and more out there, you know, there's going to be, you know, those comments are going to come out being retaliatory. I think the reaction and the dialogue through all this was good. I think the chairman of the FCC is probably, you know, seen some pushback that will probably, you know, kind of tone his management of what's going to take place. Just like, as you pointed out, what happened with Pam Bondi.
Yeah, and by the way, the question of balance in comedy, SNL, or the late night hosts, I mean, obviously, it's no balance. I mean, every once in a while, we're reminded of how it can be a little bit balanced, and then they go off to the left deep end again. But what scares me the most, frankly, is if we set the precedent that we can stifle those we disagree with. Well, we're not going to be in power forever. And the classic conservative worry is what happens when we create a power structure and then it gets used against us. And, you know, I don't want to be kicked off the airwaves because I'm a conservative when the liberals are in power.
Well, and you saw it years ago, how when the liberals are in power, how they try to do everything they could to shut down conservative speech.
Right.
Especially on talk radio, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen this story. But again, it ebbs and flows. It's a round world. These spikes, these peaks, and how the rhetoric gets and crosses the line. It's been normal. I think this one was just probably a little more extreme, where you actually had a bunch of television stations say, "Hey, we're not moving forward." Now, whether they move forward because there's a potential merger, or if they truly had drop off from advertisers, that all yet to be seen.
Yeah, well, and I mean, as I'm sure as you hint at, the truth is a blend of all of that, right? They're clearly looking a way to pull the ripcord on some of these expensive late night shows as they're preparing for a merger. It just has that look of, well, the FCC said jump, and President Trump, when we asked Stephen Colbert, he said Kimmel's next, and now Kimmel is next, and he said Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers are next, and who knows, you know, where we go. It seems like catering to the concern that it's an, you know, a threat, even if it's for a merger behind the scenes that now everybody, of course, knows about. But, you know, all of that seems concerning to me. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope it's like, you know, I said these things in frustration and now I wake up the morning after and we have to apologize a little bit or back off a little bit. I certainly hope that's the case. I know you watched a lot of the memorial service yesterday, and we've been talking about it all this morning, of course, covering it. The only, I mean, real news event in the nation yesterday. But your thoughts as you were watching this?
Well, I with that many personalities in one place, I tell you, I was impressed that they were able to keep the trains running on time because everybody wanted to share what was important to them about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by the showing. You know, that an event could fill out an entire stadium, they had overflow, they had people outside. That just shows the impact this young man had. He was very gifted, and I think it definitely put him more in a spiritual profile that more and more people realize this week. And yeah, look, there's going to be those out there the rule of numbers, the 10% that just say hateful things and do hateful things when you're trying to respect somebody's loss. But I think all in all, it was an incredible tribute to the young man.
I never felt like a worse Christian and husband than listening to Erica Kirk. I know. All right. Thanks for the reminder. you know, like that's a good sermon makes you feel terrible, you know, and do better, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's okay.
Hey, I did want to ask you just a couple of things, other things that are kind of concerning to me. The Venezuelan drug boat thing, you know, I understand the need to cut down on the import of drugs that are killing Americans, but we don't have an authorization for the use of military force. We don't have, I mean, rules that I'm aware of. Congress hasn't exerted oversight. You know, War Powers Act might allow the president to act short term, but I mean, we're just taking out these boats and hoping and trusting that this is justified. I've read some pretty concerning editorials from military folks who are like, this is not legal. Your thoughts?
I can see where there's going to be those folks out there saying their concerns regarding that. I think you have to look at whatever evidence that we're not seeing that has come forward. That you look, is it, are they getting their due process? No. But I know that who is carrying those drugs to, you know, anybody's shores are also going to be killing and been affecting thousands of others. So, I mean, I guess two wrongs don't make a right, but at the end of the day, you're trying to send a message to Venezuela that we're going to stop this and you're going to stop killing, you know, our American youth and youth all over the Caribbean as these drugs are getting sent out and distributed. So, it's a very strong retaliation tactic that we've postured with. But at the same time, what they're doing is also unacceptable in my eyes.
Yeah, and I you know, like, interdiction has been the policy of the United States for the longest time, right? The Coast Guard stops, boards, searches, and arrests. And, of course, no problem with that. And, you know, honestly, if I had really good, solid trust in the evidence that this particular boat was actually carrying a giant amount of, you know, cocaine and fentanyl and meth or whatever they were, you know, I may be okay with it. My problem is, and we're certainly not looking for due process. I mean, in a warlike environment, I get that too. But it's such an escalation, and it worries me that if we target the wrong boat, you know, how justified are we? And trust me, is to me not really an answer. That's kind of where I'm looking for more, I guess, at this point. I did want to ask you also. Go ahead.
But I'm also hearing that there is an enormous amount of resources, you know, in a tinderbox type environment there at Venezuela. So I see Maduro is now telling his citizens that the army's going to be coming out and teaching his citizens how to use weapons. I mean, we're on the edge of seeing something break in that country.
Well, Yeah, that's also, I mean, you know, the average American never thinks about South America or Central America, no. You know, and I mean, for the longest, that's one of the things I always admired about Marco Rubio is he was so emphatic in foreign policy and paying attention to our backyard, what we've had as the, you know, the doctrine of the Western Hemisphere for so long. But I mean, I know most Americans are not paying attention, unfortunately. The choice to ask for Bagram back or to say, give us it back, or I mean, is that, this seems like an impossible thing, but then again, you know, the Panama Canal looks like that's kind of working now, right? So do you see a future where we actually control Bagram again?
I do. I mean, when you look at the investment that was made there, even if you had I don't know the specifics of what type of resources it takes to take back operational, but if nothing else, I think the president's definitely concerned about what you're going to see with a China occupation of it in any way, shape, or form. This is where the president's coming. Look, and he's doing some saber rattling right now. I don't know how much further he takes it.
You know, one of the other, and I hate to be the, here's all the criticisms of President Trump for you, Jimmy. What's your answer? but the Pentagon rules suddenly, I mean, it was one thing when they said you can't go wandering the halls and thought, oh, okay, I can kind of see that. But now that the reporters are going to be required to get prior to print permission from an authorized spokesman in order for everything that they're reporting, and the New York Times already said they won't obey this, this kind of prior restraint on reporting about the military, we're not talking about war plans. We're just talking about accountability in the Fourth Estate doing its job. I mean, this seems like a huge overstep to me.
Well, I think one thing's kind of interesting is I'll take the Florida Capitol, for example. Florida Capitol, once you, you're a member of the press, you don't have to get any background checks or anything, and you're allowed to just come and go as you please in Florida Capitol. Everybody else has to, you know, endure, you know, metal detectors, all these other things in order to get in and out. I think some of this may be kind of somewhere in the middle. I think as there is maybe some type of threat analysis that whoever may be coming in because of the environment that they're in, because of the things that may be taking place. If I'm Pete Hegseth, it is probably very difficult to get a good night's sleep considering how much he has shaken things up. So, you know, I'm sure he probably wants to make sure that those that are around him that are accessing that building. But once systems get put in place, things will settle down and it'll be more normalized. I assure you.
We are. We just saw on Thursday, I got to think through when I covered it on the air and when it actually happened in real life. On Thursday, we saw the grand opening of the Leonardo Maintenance, Repair, and Overhaul Facility at the back gate of NAS Whiting Field. We really are becoming this MRO corridor, whether it's at the port with Offshore Inland and now American Magic coming and the things surrounding that, whether it's at ST Engineering Aerospace at the, you know, at the airport and now at NAS Whiting. I mean, this is this whole idea of a tech corridor, MRO corridor, is really starting to take shape, don't you think?
It's only going to get better. So, I mean, I had met with a company that says, hey, we're a supplier to Airbus and Mobile. Can we open up a dialogue about doing something in Florida and be a supply chance? They were fearing that Florida wouldn't accept them. No, I said, we'll take anybody that wants to make an investment, bring higher paid jobs into Northwest Florida. So you're going to see it more and more as you having the third assembly line opening up over Mobile. There's going to be that whole leverage of taking advantage of our veterans, that skilled workforce, understanding chain of command, understanding mission readiness. It just makes for a smart marriage in Northwest Florida for all those type of air-related, tech-related, military-related jobs.
I mean, I love the idea of, you know, expansion here into Florida from some of the industries that have been just over the border into Alabama. But also, I mean, Leonardo's talking a couple of years down the road, they might start building their helicopters here. I'm like, sweet. I'll take it. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, no, yeah. I've been wearing out Leonardo on that. I said, look, it's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper to do this work in Florida than Pennsylvania. So, but I'm excited. You know, I mean, little by little, you're going to see more and more of that presence of their company in this part of the country, but it's also a very military friendly part of the country. It bodes well for them. And the things that Leonardo does in Northwest Florida would blow your mind. They've got a lot of cool stuff that's going on there that benefits our military globally.
Absolutely. Now, if only we could get a couple of the cutters to be built maybe around here instead of in Pascagoula or in Panama City. I mean, that'd be great. Jimmy Petronas, he is our what's that?
I'm keep working it.
Yeah, there you go. Keep doing it. All right. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. I will talk to you again next week, and be safe until then, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. See you, bud.